Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sorry about the technical difficulties of us getting the program started, but we're going to get the program started now. I'm looking for the last four digits of the host. So if you are hosting the program tonight for Brother Marshall, if you would dial the number 1 on your telephone so I can unmute you and we can go ahead and get the program started. One eight one six. Are you hosting tonight?
Oh no, no, I made a mistake. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, this is Aretha Cleveland, your host. If you can hear me at this time, we're having technical difficulty. Will 2820 just press the number 1 on your phone so I can know that you all can hear me at this time? 2820. Okay, thank you, so I know that you can hear me. We've had some technical difficulties, and I am so sorry that we've had those technical difficulties. But first of all, I want to thank everyone for your patience and being here. I'm glad to be back on the show tonight, filling in for Brother Marshall, who he has scheduled. I'm glad that we were able to go on our vacation and make it back safe. But tonight what we're going to talk about is worry and wondering. As Christians, as women of the body of Christ, have you ever had that experience where you were worrying about something? You couldn't sleep because you heard that a storm was coming through, or you may have had a blowout and it happened before your pay period, so you're not sure how you are going to get an opportunity to get another tire before your pay period, which is not until about 10 days away. Have you ever forgot about your benefits that you had as a child of Christ? Have you ever forgot about the unlimited benefits that we have as women of the body of Christ? So what I'm going to do is, before we get into that, I'm going to ask anyone that's on the call who would like to share with us tonight any experience that they had with worrying and wondering. And what did they get, what helped them or what reminded them that God was in control and that they no longer had to worry and wonder? So if you have an experience you would like to share with us tonight, please dial the number 1 on your telephone at this time. For those of you all who pressed the 1 to let me know that you could hear me, press the 1 on your phone again so that way it will take you off of the board as if you have pressed the 1 to ask a question or to share something with us. Okay, thank you guys so much. Now, again, I'm asking if somebody would greatly just share something with us when they were worrying or wondering about something, and what happened to get you to the point you were no longer worrying and wondering. If you would dial the number 1 on your phone and share that with us at this time. I think I've shared with numerous calls before how my grandmother would worry when a storm was coming through. I would speak to her, and she would tell me that she hadn't slept all night because she was worrying about the storm. And I asked her, I said, well, did your worrying stop the storm? And she would say no. And I said, what were you worried about? I said, did you remind yourself of the disciples when they were in the boat with Jesus? And she said, I hadn't thought of it like that. So She finally got to the point after I kept talking to her about it where she said she would sleep peacefully. She realized there was nothing that she could do with the storm, and she would sleep peacefully and not worry and not stay up and wake up. And she said she would get up the next day and she would be so tired that she could barely function. So I was glad that as a reminder and the things that I would say made her think about what she was doing. So, again, I'm going to ask anyone that's on the line tonight, if you have experienced that, if you would dial the number one on your phone and just share with us so we can get the basis of where we was and where we are now in our lives. Share your story with us, please.
Yes, good evening, Aretha. I would like to share with you that I have been in a situation. I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I had to immediately find a way to survive that diagnosis and the shock of having been diagnosed. As a Christian, the only thing that I could pull from at that point, because there were no soothing words for me, for my family and my friends, I could not be soothed, you know, by that diagnosis. So what I did is I just went back to the promises of God. I used the 23rd Psalm, and I'm using it now. Every time I feel any type of fear or any type of worrying, I go to the 23rd Psalm, and I'm always reminded by the Psalm that, you know, the Lord is with me, even though it seems that I'm all alone and I'm in this dark place, that He has led me here and that He has promised to never leave me. And that comforts me each and every day as I go through my treatments and as I try to regain part of my health and my strength. It's just, there is nothing like the promises of God. If we would just go in sometimes, and that's what I've done, I go in and I just highlight all of His promises. And there are so many promises that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, that yea, though I'm in the valley and the shadow of death, He's still with me, you know. And so that's how I keep from worrying and wondering about tomorrow, you know, am I going to survive this, you know, what's going to happen to me, all of those things. That the 23rd Psalms and all of His promises keeps me from going into that mode of worrying and wondering about tomorrow. I just live each day. When I wake up every morning, I thank Him for waking me up. I go to all of my treatments with His words from the 23rd Psalms. I'm actually quoting it when I am when I did receive chemo. Now that I'm in radiation, when they put me under that machine, I'm quoting the 23rd Psalms, and I tell you, if you just get one scripture and just put it into your soul and into your spirit to help you through any storm or any fear, it is probably one of the most, well, not probably, but for me, it's one of the most soothing things or the most soothing privilege that I have as a Christian, and I just wanted to share that with you.
Wow, thank you so much. That is so true. And I just actually posted that on social media the other day, asking people, and I said this, I think, about a week ago on our 5:30 prayer call. What we do is God brings us through a storm. He brings us through health issues. He brings us through financial issues. He brings us through a storm. And what happens is once He brings us through those storms, we forget. And then He brings us through another storm, and we forget. And then yet another storm, and we forget. So what happens is when someone wronged us, I can remember saying this phrase myself, and what happened is we'll say to a person, I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. Now, we won't forget that, but we'll forget the promises of God. We'll forget His word. We'll forget how he brought us through a storm. And that's what we should remember, because if we could remember that and we could remember his word and what he says, then we will actually be at peace when we go through our storms, when we go through our challenges. We won't worry or we won't wander. So that is exactly a good testimony. And I use the 23rd Psalm all the time, because I say it to myself, even though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. Especially when people tell me that they are fearful of stuff, I'll quote that to them, and then I'll ask them, do you believe in the word of God? And they tell me, yes, I do. And then I'll ask them, do you think that God can lie? And they'll say, no, the scripture says that he cannot lie. And I say, well, if the scripture says he cannot lie, then why don't you believe in the things that the Bible says that he will do? Why are we worrying? Why are we wondering? So that is truly a good analogy, and thank you for sharing that with us. Do we have anybody else on the line who would like to share with us about what they have worried or wondered in the past, or they may still worry about some things? And what do you use to soothe you, to bring you through? Do you use something that your grandma said or your mom said, or do you use the word of God? And think about his word and what he says that he will do to protect us. If there's anybody else on the line that would like to share, please dial the number 1 on your telephone at this time. Okay, well, we'll continue to talk about it. Again, we'll stay on what I was saying about how God brings us through storms and how quickly we forget that he brought us through a storm, how quickly we'll go through something, and it may be a while we're in that storm, and we'll ask for unlimited prayers, and we'll worry, and we'll be depressed, we'll get frustrated, and then he'll bring us through, and then everything is going great. Then what we do at that time, we start back advocating for God. We start talking about his grace and mercy. We start quoting things like, somebody may walk up and say, God is good, and we'll say all the time, God is good, and we'll go through another storm. And then all that stuff we were saying, it doesn't seem to show in our actions anymore. It doesn't seem to be there anymore. What happened to his grace and his mercy? Did it leave us? But I thought God said he won't leave or forsake us. What happened that threw us in that mode that we forgot, that we went back into this panic mode? What put us there? Do we have anybody who would like to comment on that? Okay, well, we'll continue to talk about it. What we do, and a lot of people say, well, why? I don't want to tell the truth. It's not telling a lie. I know that I may be going through something. I may be in the middle of a storm. I know that my blood pressure may be running high. I know this. I experienced it. I experienced my hands swelling. I experienced my feet swelling. But why do I have to sound like I feel? Because I know. Now, especially if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, let me do that first, because if we're not doing what we're supposed to do, I don't know how we can get so panicky in whatever is going on with us. It's easy. If I'm not taking my high blood pressure medicine, I'm eating salt and everything, and I'm not exercising, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, then I should not be alarmed if my health is not going according to the way I think it should be going. I'm not going to sit here and ask the 5:30 and the 6:30, the Women of Excellence, can you pray for me because my blood pressure is not being controlled when I know I'm not getting up and taking my medicine. But if I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do and I'm having some issues, well, guess what? That medication may not work anymore. My body may be immune to it. I may just need to go to the doctor. But I'm not going to sound like I feel. My feet may be swollen, and they may hurt for me to walk on them, and my hands may be swollen. I may not can hold a pencil. But I'm still going to rejoice, and the reason I'm going to rejoice, because God answers prayers. I'm going to rejoice because God has already told me numerous of times in his word that he's going to take care of me. I'm going to rejoice because the God I serve, he's never left me. He's always brought me through storms. He's brought me through storms that I had no clue how he was going to bring me through. Even when I think, have you ever watched a movie or you ever watched something, and in your mind you already imagine how it's going to play out? But you can't do that with God. And so, therefore, you have to trust in him, your actions. I was speaking to a young lady today. Actually, it was so amazing because as soon as we got off the cruise ship, I got a phone call, and I reached out to the young lady. And so, of course, as we're driving, I'm talking to her, and she said, I know God, but, and I let her get all the way through everything she had to say. I know God, but, I know God, but, and she told me how she was just depressed and how she's going through things. And finally, when she finished, I asked her, was she finished? She said, yes. I said, what's the but? Why the but with God? Now, if you were talking about man, I could understand you saying but. But why the but with God? You don't need to have a but with God, because I always ask people, first of all, do you believe God's word? And they'll say yes. And I brought up the scenario of I did with my friend that time. We had stopped by her house, and she asked me. No, she didn't ask me. She went upstairs and came back with these vitamins. And she said, I want you to take these vitamins. I said, why? She said, well, they're going to give you energy. I said, okay. I said, do you take them? She said, every day. I said, well, you can keep them. I don't want them. She was like, why? I said, because every time I'm talking to you, dragging. Every time I'm talking to you, you're talking about how tired you are. They ain't working for you. So I don't want to take them. And she was like, and I wouldn't take them. That's how it is with us being women of the body of Christ. We're talking to people, and when everything is going great, we're talking about them, about God's grace and his mercy. We're talking about how good he is. We're talking about, can I have a Bible study with you? We're saying a whole lot of things. Then guess what? A storm hit us. And then they get a chance to see a whole different reaction. So once we make it through that storm, we go back and we want to start talking to them about God. And we want to say, you know, when can I set up a Bible study? When can I get you to go to church with me? But some of them bold enough like me to say, well, you know what, I prefer to say how I am. And we'd be like, you know what, I wouldn't do that. And then you'll ask them, well, why? What's happening? You were doing so good in your Bible study. And then they come back and they tell you, well, when I saw you going through, you know, what you were going through, when your dad got sick or one of your children got hurt or something happened and you almost lost your house, I didn't see that grace and mercy you have been talking to me about for months. I didn't see that trust that you were telling me to have in God. I didn't see the stuff that you were saying to me to do for others. Now, imagine having somebody to say that to you after you have spent months of talking to them about God, months of talking to them about his grace and his mercy, months, and even getting them to the point where you can have Bible studies. That's why I tell people all the time, your actions and your words got to match up. They got to match up, because if they don't match up, that person that you've been, and I won't say, I'll say running behind, but I don't literally mean running behind, that you've been actually speaking to and trying to talk to them about God and share information, in just one action, you have ran them off. It would run me off, because my thing is you're doing all this talk to me about God's grace and his mercy, and then all of a sudden you go through a storm. What happened to the grace and mercy? What happened to God would never leave or forsake you? What happened? Why did your actions show different than what you've been talking to me about for months? And that's why I tell you, we have to regroup ourselves. If we're still trembling, worrying, and wondering, Christians, women of the body of Christ, we got to regroup ourselves, because guess what? There's no way that we're going to bring people to the body of Christ with our actions being what they are. We got to get better in what we do and how we do, because we want to do what God has called us to do, and we can't do what he's called us to do if we're saying one thing and doing another. We got to actually show that in what we're doing and how we're doing. So, again, if we have anybody on the line tonight that would like to share in that, we would definitely like to hear someone else talk. 1340. State your question or your comment, please.
This is Sister Walker. I know a lot of you know what I have been going through lately with my neck and pain and numbness down my arm. And I had my first epidural today, and it kind of scared me a little bit. I asked the doctor, am I supposed to feel this tingling going down my spine, you know, because I had one before, and it didn't feel like that, so I thought I might be having a reaction. And he said that that was normal and it would go away, and it did. And when I got up off the table, I was able to get up on my own, push myself up, get back in the wheelchair for them to wheel me back out front for me to walk on outside and get back in my aunt's car. But my thing is, someone texted me and asked me, how did things go today? And I told them, I said, it's about the same, but I'm having a good day. You know, I don't have the relief that I was expecting, but they said to expect that. But I'm not down about it because, but God, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, I feel bad, I trust God, but I'm going to say, but God, because of God, that he still woke me up this morning. I'm still able to feel the discomfort, you know, but I'm still able to function. There's some people that have the discomfort and can't do anything for themselves, but I praise God and I'm thankful that I can still do some things. And actually, I'm doing a little bit more than I had been doing even before the epidural. So I praise him for that, but God. Because if you don't rely on him and even show it in your actions, I've had coworkers tell me, you need to go home, because I'll stand in the door and I'll shake my hand, try to get the life back in it. And the girl across the hall from me said, you need to go home. Why are you here? And I'm like, God's got this. God's got this. I'm all right. I'll be all right. And, you know, I just shake it off, and then I go do what I have to do. And if I don't do that, it's like you said, you'll chase the person off. I've been trying to get this woman to come to worship or go to ladies' days. She's supposed to be going with me to a retreat, but I've learned not to all the time pay up front for somebody because I've lost money that way. I'm going to pray for her hotel stay, but she needs to pay her registration fee. And she says she's going, and she really wants to go. So I'm like, if I was always down in the dumps and that's how she saw me, she wouldn't even be interested in going to the ladies' retreat that I told her about or showed her the flyer or any of the things that I've discussed with her. She wouldn't be interested in it because it would be like, where's your faith? So I show my faith on a daily basis. People know what I'm going through, and they still see me saying, but God, my Lord.
Wow. Thank you so much, Sister Carolyn, for sharing that. And the thing about it is being obedient and being ready to do what God has called us to do. What I have, and I don't say to people, oh, I've been in the body of Christ for, you know, all of my life. I don't say I'm a Christian. What I do is I live in a way that will show people that I am a true believer in the Word of God and that I'm here to do what God has called me to do. And I don't take God and fit him in my schedule. What I do is God is my schedule, and I fit the things that I need to do around God. And the great thing about that, what I love most about that in my life now, based on where I used to be, is it can happen. Sister Tanya sent me a text message tonight, not knowing that we were just pulling up to our home from just getting off a cruise ship. And she had it down for me to host tonight for this call. And so she was like, well, I looked at it wrong. And I said, that's okay. If you can't, that person's not on the line, I'll come in and I'll talk about something. The reason I can do that now versus I couldn't do that years ago I would have shared with Sister Tanya, well, first of all, we're just pulling up in our yard after a 6.5-hour drive and after just getting off a cruise ship, and I need to come in and unpack, and I got the baby, and I would have gave her all of my scenarios. But now, as long as I got a phone and I got internet, I'll say, you know what, what do I need to fill in? What do I need to do? Because the thing about it is what we have to remember, ladies, is we're women of the body of Christ. So meaning we're doing things for God, not for man. We're not blending in, but we're standing out. And if we don't evaluate ourselves and get ourselves to that point in our life, we're going to miss the boat. We're going to be like Moses. Laugh at me, but I remember that every day. What helps me with my frustrations is I always keep first and forefront in my mind that Moses got so frustrated that he didn't do what God told him to do, and he struck that rock, and he missed the promised land. So when I catch myself getting frustrated, the first thing I say to myself is, I'm not going to hit the rock. I'm not going to miss the promised land because I'm working too hard and too diligently to do what God has called me to do to miss out on the promises. So that's what I do to keep the frustration away. And that's and just I keep saying what God says. I say, I don't say what man says. Man says, well, Aretha, I understand you want to have a black tie gala, and I know you haven't had one before, but if I was you, I would start off with somewhere smaller. God says, Aretha, you can do this. I won't leave or forsake you. I'll be there. I'll protect you. Seek me first now. Come to me first. Let me guide and direct you. And you can do all things. And those are the things that I mimic every day. Those are the things that I say to myself every day when I step out and to do things. So just wanted to share that. We have another caller on the line that has a question or comment. 0114. State your question or your comment.
Good evening, my sister. I just wanted to share with you what happened to us over the weekend. Saturday was Sister Trustee's birthday and my brother, they twins. And so we were celebrating out in the park, and every time I turn around, somebody, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. I said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I've never, ever, in all the years that I've been doing my family reunion, I treated it like it was a family reunion because I had to get everything together. I had everything ready that Friday night. All they had to do was come and load everything up and put it on the truck. So Evie come with her truck, and she loading up the truck. Mine, it's raining out there. I said, put the stuff on the truck. And then I thought about it. I asked my brother, I said, do you have a tarp? And then I said, no. I said, no, I'm not spending any money on no tarp. I said, Evie, just take the stuff to the park, and we'll come and relieve you. And if you want to leave, you leave. And everybody came up to me, so I went to pick up my sister, Linda, and her crew. And these little guys were going to the park with us. And they said, well, Miss Barbara, look like it's going to rain. I said, do you know what faith is? You know, they kept trying to say it. So I, you know, quoted Hebrews 11:1. I said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I said, I'm going to the park. Y'all more than welcome to come to the park. And I said, the next time I see you, I want you to tell me what faith is. So the little guys came out to the park, and while we were out there, started to shout just a little tap. And I just went on with everything. Everything got organized, got the tables and stuff like that. Next thing you know, the sun was shining bright, beautiful clouds in the sky. And when we did our family prayer, I prayed about the faith. I said, no matter what things look like, you gotta trust God and be faithful. If he says so, then it's so. No matter what it looked like, you gotta keep trusting in him. So now when I go to my sister's house, those same little guys, I know what faith is, Miss Barbara, I know what faith is. And he said, I said, well, did you believe that it was going to rain? He said, I didn't believe it was going to rain because you didn't believe it was rain. And now I have faith in you, and I know what faith is. So it kind of made me kind of funny. So now when they see me now, they always say, Miss Barbara, faith is this. And that make me thank God for, you know, taking care of us and showing us. And we had a great time. It was wonderful. Everybody was there. And I just thank the Lord for that because every one of them kept saying it's rain. I said, I don't want to hear the R word. It's going to be just fine. So we just got to trust God in everything, little things and big things.
Everything. Yes, we do. Thank you. Yes, we do. And you tell Sister Charlene, and I'll give her a call too, that I said happy birthday. I thought about her on the 4th when we was on the cruise ship because we got married on Sister Charlene's birthday. And then my birthday is the 14th. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't she get married on our birthday, on my birthday, Barbara?
Exactly. You're right.
Yes. So that is so amazing that
yes.
Patrick and I got married on Sister Charlene, and we didn't know you guys at the time. And then she got married on my birthday, not knowing it was my birthday. So I thought about her when we was on that cruise ship, and I told Patrick, I said, you know, today is Charlene's birthday, and we laughed about it. And just, again, just having that faith, even being on that cruise ship, when I called my grandmother today and said, hey, we're back, and I'm headed back home kicking and screaming, and she laughed. She said, you know what? She said, you're the only one I know in this family that can go somewhere and God bring you back and you still be just a chip. I said, Grandma, we all can do it. I said, well, every last one of us can actually do what we say. Now, we don't believe, we may not can do it, but I know when we went to France, my grandmother called me, and my grandma never been able to dial a phone to call me. I found out later somebody programmed my number in her phone. But she is 89 years old, and she said, I do not want you to go to France. She said, I never not told you I wanted you to go somewhere. But she said, ISIS is over there, and I don't want you to go. And I said to her, I said, Grandma, I said, if I get over there and something happens to me, I said, I'm ready. I said, otherwise, I'll talk to you when I get back. And, of course, you all know Barbara got over there, and I did have some Wi-Fi, so I was able to talk a little bit while I was there. But I went and came back because of the faith that I have in God. So we have some other callers on the line that have a question or comment. 8945, share your question or comment, please.
Hello. This is my first time talking with you all, but I just have more of a comment and then a question after. I'm really young in my faith. I joined the church about 4 years ago, which is my first time being back into church since I was a kid. My mom joined a Baptist church, and I was there till I was about maybe about 10, and then rejoined when I was about 26. And I recently started looking for a different church home. It wasn't because my church family wasn't supportive of anything. It's because my pastor was reassigned. And it's not that I depend on my pastors. It's that it just happened at a really bad time, where things were just happening, a whole lot of things. And I am one of those people who are not as strong in my faith as some of you ladies proclaim on the phone call, which is why I've been listening and can say, oh, well, basically I'm in church and I'm faithful and I'm following Christ. Yes, that's the way I felt at that time. But as the hammer went down on me, I can honestly say that I realized that my faith, all it was, as far as me being able to stay in church and keep the attitude that I had had and the mentality. And I know it's because I was young in my faith, but I'm not trying to criticize anyone else. But some things that I've heard on this line seem a little, I don't know, like I said, a little phony. I don't know if this, if phony is the right word, but, you know, like I said, I've been to several churches before. I dedicated myself to a church home, but certain things that I hear, I feel like I've heard it like a million times before. And I'm trying to figure out what I need to, where I need to go and what I need to do to regain the kind of confidence in religious people that I had before, because my faith in God, I still pray every day. I still feel as if I have some level of connection with God, so pray with my kids. I still do all of that. But I think my faith in my faith in the religious community has waned a bit, and it has something to do with my pastor being reassigned, because my church family, I still love. I know that they're great people, and I'm not saying you don't have the right to be flawed or anything like that, because I'm very flawed. Don't get me wrong. I'm so far from perfect, it's not even funny. But just the idea of someone testifying to me that in the smallest things, everything is fine, everything is okay, and it's all about faith. I think it takes more than just faith, because I've always felt like I've had faith in God, but then my faith in people actually has played a big role in, or my non-faith in people, I should say, has actually played a big role in my ability to stay open and vulnerable and loving and honest in the way that I started to develop when I first started going to church. And my question is that if you have any idea or any suggestions, how do I get back to the point where I can be with people and trust people? Because I guess my whole point is that, like I said, a lot of things that I've heard on the line tonight, I've heard people tell me that, and the same people snub me, they talk about me behind my back, they are judgmental.
Okay.
And so let me restore my faith in what I'm hearing. And so I'm looking for suggestions as to where I should go from here as a young person who's really trying to find, regain her faith in people. And it's not just religious people in general.
Okay.
Because my faith in God is not in question.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to start off with my testimony, and then I'll let the other ladies. And I thank you so much for your honesty, because you sound like I sound some years ago. First of all, I felt that now I look back, my first mistake is because I had faith in people instead of in God. I had faith. Some people would tell me they was going to do this, they was going to do that. And I was the same way. I used to hear people tell me all the time, well, I prayed to God, and I'm waiting on the answer from God. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, been in church all of my life, been in their body, and now I can say I'm totally into his word. And I would ask people, well, what do you mean you're waiting on God, you're waiting to hear from God? Do he talk to you? Do you hear his voice? Tell me. I mean, I'm that person that I was just blunt, and I wanted to know because I was tired of hurting. I was tired of going through the things I was going through. And I had to finally, first of all, start reading God's word. And I tell everybody, I really feel that that's what helped me get to another level when I started doing my spiritual exercises for myself. I started not just reading, but I started studying. I started realizing that I wasn't here to please man, but I was here to please God. I was here to follow God's word and not what the man thought of me. And once I started getting on that level, I started getting strength. I started investing my time into ministries. I started getting on calls like this and listening. I started voicing to other people how I felt about things. And I just kept praying and praying and talking to God. But as I went on that journey, and I still go through that, I went through getting an eviction notice out of my apartment. And then all of a sudden, I was back to, okay, I've been doing the things. I've been going to church. I've been giving my offering. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. And I got an eviction notice. Then as I got through that storm, which I thought I got myself through, I got a thing to get my lights turned off. I said, okay, what am I doing wrong? I'm doing what it says do. I'm doing this. Now my lights got turned off. Well, after I thought I got myself through that storm, I got ready to go to work. Been waiting to get this 7-to-3 shift so I could be home when my babies got home from school. Late one morning, went to go outside, and my car was gone. Came back in, called my supervisor, and somebody just stole my car. Then I thought about it. I ain't seen no glass or nothing. Car repossessed. I'm like, okay, I just can't do this anymore. Single parent, 4 children, eviction notice, lights turned off, car repossessed, robbing Peter to pay Paul. I can't seem to get anywhere. People lying. I'm going to help you out. I'm there for you. When I need them, I call. They don't answer their phones. They were the 8-to-5. If I didn't call between 8-to-5, they wasn't there for me. So finally, I laid on my bedroom floor. I'll never forget. And I cried and I prayed and I said, God, I need your direction. I moved to Atlanta and I met John Marshall. And I'm not putting him in a status of a God, but John Marshall took me under his wing. And he started mentoring me. He started answering my questions. He started giving me direction. He started getting me to think on the level of God. He said, get what you think about man out of your head over here, Rita. Start thinking this. And I started thinking. I started reading. I started doing my spiritual exercise. I started speaking. I started just putting myself in a position to get stronger. Just like I wanted to go to the gym to tone, I started putting myself, I started changing the people I was around, including my family. I started thinking on a spiritual level instead of a worldly level.
And these are the things that I started to do to strengthen my faith. I'm telling you from my heart, had I not started doing these things, when I got that phone call on July the 22nd, and I'll say this until my last breath, that somebody took a gun and pulled the trigger and killed my son because they didn't like him, I would not be able to be on this line and say anything. But I know it's because I built up my faith. I started doing the things that God says. I took my focus off of man. I started dissecting his word. I started reading his word and asking questions and writing notes. What does this mean if I didn't understand it? Praying and asking God for direction. And I started 5:30. I started a 5:30 prayer call. At first I said, well, nobody's going to get up at 5:30. That's too early, so it's just my friend and I. Now I get on that 5:30 prayer call, and I look forward to getting on there with those women who have failed faith tests, who have gone through adversity, who still go through adversity, who is honest about it, and we're there for each other. 6:30 prayer call, 7 o'clock. Some people say, that's just too much. I don't want to be on a 5:30 call, 6:30 call, 7. I do what I need to do to strengthen my faith to make it through the day. And you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to take your focus off of it because man will let you down. But when I look back at all those storms, when I look back at that eviction notice and those lights being turned out and my car being repossessed, when I look at the fact that that boy took my son's life, God brought me through, not man. But what I love most about it is when my son was killed, what I said is, oh, it's going to be okay. The doctor I work for, even though I don't get paid for being off, he's going to pay me my paycheck, even if I have to pay it back, and I'll get some insurance money. Well, none of that happened. But I can tell you what did happen. Those ladies who I stay with at 5:30 in the morning, at 6:30 in the morning, who I'm on Grace Nurture with, those ladies who I laugh and talk and cry with, they sent Pampers, they bought food, they bought furniture. These are ladies that I didn't really know that well at the time. But see, what God did is he said, I'm going to show you how I'm going to fix this for you, Aretha. I'm not going to do what you said. I'm going to do what I said because I want you to know it was me. Those are the experiences that you're going to go through that's going to strengthen you. There's nobody in this earth, I don't care what anybody say, because I went through the thing about church people. I went through listening at them gossip because I've been in church all my life. I went through looking at them when I got pregnant at a young age, talking about me. But when I got to the point where I realized it ain't about that, it's about God, that's when my whole life started to turn around. So I'm here to tell you that a lot of these women that's on this line tonight are women I deal with all the time. Their stories are truly not phony. Their stories are truly things that they and they still have storms. We all still have storms. We don't have a perfect life. We have storms. But what we've decided is, wow, God brought me through that last storm. He brought me through the eviction. He brought me through the lights being turned off. He brought me through my car being repossessed. He brought me through when I was diagnosed with cancer. He brought me through when I was this and that. So if he brought me through all those things and he's been bringing me through all this time, he's going to still bring me through because his word tells me he's not going to leave or forsake me. So that's how we're able to testify even in the middle of our pain. That's how we're able to have a smile on our face even in the middle of our pain. Because we know from experience that it wasn't us, it wasn't man, it was God. And when you get to that point, little by little, just do it. Just put yourself in that position. Just when people call me at a certain time and read my Bible, I don't answer my phone because I'm doing what I need. I call it my spiritual exercises. When people are talking, if somebody walks with me and they go to talk about somebody, I stop them. I'm not the person anymore. I'm not your sounding board to listen at your negativity. Now, if you want to talk about you to me, I can do that all day long. And I can give you my opinion and my thoughts. I can pray with you, and I can share my testimonies. I use my life as an open book and all the things I've been through in hope that it will help turn somebody else around as it did me because it took me a minute to get there. But I thank God that I'm still alive. And I'm still getting there every day. I'll never be perfect, but I will truly be a woman of God, strong. striving to do what he has called me to do, keeping my focus on him and his word, and not allowing anybody to turn me around for that anymore in my life. And I know I threw a lot at you, but you sound just like me a few years ago. Zero 114, you want to say a comment also to the caller?
Well, I did, my sister, but you covered it all, and you covered it well. And I just want her to be encouraged and keep your eyes focused on God. And just like my sister said, get into the word. That's where our growth comes from. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we get into the word and keep our eyes focused on him and his word, we grow stronger. And we're going to go through trials. We're going to have trials. I went through every one of my trials that I've shared with you. And I'm thanking God, even when different things, like a couple of months ago, I had a big lump in my breast. And when I felt the lump, I swallowed, you know, kind of hard. And then I said, God's going to bring me through this. And I'm telling you, I went to my doctor that next day, and she said, it's the weekend. Don't you worry about it. I said, I'm not worried about it. I'm really not worried about it. I'm trusting God. And that's what we have to do, is trust God in every situation, that he'll bring us through. He'll give us strength to keep on keeping on. So, my sister, be encouraged. Be encouraged, and you can even join us on the prayer calls in the morning, and my sister will give you the phone number, or I could tell it to you right now, whichever you want to do. And it's growth in those prayer calls, because we get together and sing and pray and encourage one another at 5:30 in the morning, at 6:30 in the morning. Monday through Friday. And be encouraged, my sister.
Thank you so much, Barbara. We've run out of time. I'm sorry. We're gonna have to bring this back up and do this again. But thank everyone for being here. Thank everyone for your prayers while we was on vacation. I was gonna sneak in to call in the morning and surprise everybody, and I got to surprise myself. But everyone have a wonderful evening. I look forward to talking to everybody in the morning on the 5:30 prayer call.
This episode of Wondrous Women has been brought to you by the Solomon Society. If this episode has blessed you, why not bless your friends? Send them this online address, www.blogtalkradio.com/The Grace View, so that they can hear what you have just heard. And to ensure the continuation of this ministry, please make a tax-deductible donation to the Solomon Society. You may text your donation to 404-620-2455, or donations may be given online at www.solomonsociety.xyz. Thanks for listening, and may the wisdom of God be forever in you.